And that means it is time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Of course, Jim joins us every week at this time as I drop my iPhone for the fifth time this morning with a big thud. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, and, of course, sports. He brings all these insights and opinions over the past 40 years to us on a regular basis. And with any luck at all, he'll be on the phone when I say, good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, sir.
How are you this morning?
Well, Giants, Jets, what do you think?
No.
I've just found the best story ever. And this is, I'm absolutely serious. It goes with the Giants and the Jets. And it's happened yesterday, and it's off Deutsche Welle. And it is police in the southern German town of Haslach reported on Monday that thieves had made off with an entire vineyard of wine grapes in broad daylight.
All right, well, anyways, it's almost as bad as the Giants and the Jets, but we'll see. You know, it was a lost weekend is all you can say in football. And the Meadowlands area indeed is a swamp for football. Well, anyways.
A wasteland.
Well, in fairness to the Giants, though, in that first half, the ref called a horse collar, obviously, was totally bogus. And that penalty resulted in 3 points. And the other thing was a miscue with that guy getting hit and the ball bouncing out. After that, it was downhill. But it's a long season. It's a long season, and we'll suffer through it.
That's right. Like we always do.
And I was commiserating with a friend of mine about this very thing, and I was talking about it, and then he said, and of course, the Knicks are coming up, too.
I know.
That's alarming.
Said, boy, I'm on the floor, and you're hitting me with the bat.
And the Rangers as well. I mean, it's just not.
Oh, God. And let's get off sports.
How about
badminton?
And the circus left Madison Square Garden, so there's no really reason to go to the Garden.
That's right.
At least.
You know, the key to the whole thing, when the Russians sold their interest in the Knicks, that was the kiss of death. I mean, you know.
There you go.
They bought Donald Trump, and they kept him, and they gave up the Knicks.
Oh,
anyhow, folks, it's good to be here. Good to hear you, Marshall and Jill, the lovely Jill. Our weather here is a little overcast. I hope it's better up there.
No,
it's not. It's worse.
I mean, if you're living and breathing, the weather's good.
That's exactly right.
Anyhow, on a serious note, which I've been delinquent about since I can say a few things on a Tuesday morning at 8:30-something, let's keep in mind in our prayers and our good thoughts, there's at least 1,300 kids in detention in the Southwest. They just moved to tents somewhere in Texas, and God, it's really a pathetic situation that the United States of America is doing this to kids. Okay, kids.
Well, the whole bad thing about having that many children in detention is sooner or later they're going to grow up. They really are, and sooner or later, either they're going to become American citizens or they're going to be shipped out. But when they grow up, there will be a hidden resentment that will transform them, and that resentment will never go away. That's the sad part, and then they'll pass that resentment on, the way that we're treated, to their family members. That's how you build terrorism eventually. Really.
It's also how you build dismay. Yeah. You know, you get caught in a. I was debating this with somebody on a different topic. No one understands what bureaucracy is anymore.
Right.
And this is a youngish kid.
But it's the slightest thing that can plant.
Absolutely right.
Plant a bad seed, and then you wonder years later why that bad seed develops.
And you really shouldn't wonder. You know, it's watered, it's fed, it's nurtured, and not by sitting and watching beheading videos, but simply by resenting one's the hand one's dealt, and there's room for legitimate resentment, and that's where we get into difficulty. And I'm not sure that enough time is spent looking at that when there's so much more interesting top line stuff that everyone can just bang on about.
Unfortunately, you both are correct, and as you were speaking, I was thinking of looking at 13 and 15 year old kids in some of these other nations that are rife with fighting and terrorism and poverty and authoritarian governments, and the faces of those kids. I mean, 13 and 15, and they say, well, they're fighters, they have guns, and, you know, that's how they've been set up. I'm not portraying that for this country, but I'm just saying the resentment that Marshall has mentioned, I mean, we have it in so many other countries which weren't free to begin with. And here we are free, and we're abrogating our freedom for us, but freedom for everybody, and incarcerating 1,300 children and probably much more. I mean, what are we becoming?
It's called, and also it's, here's the part that really, it's not just incarcerating children. Incarcerating children without their families, without their mother or father.
And you might as well, put the mother, well, if you put the mother and father or somebody in the same prison, it'd be a hell of a lot better than what's going on. Because separating them creates such pain and sorrow for the parents, and in turn, following up on what you said, this resentment. I mean, you know, the president is doing his own job of creating negativity and againstness against others who are in turn against us. Why do we do this on this level? It is so incredible. Folks, you got to pay attention to this, though. There are people in Congress and the Senate and this and that. They're the ones who can possibly change this. And if we don't change it, we will become an ugly country. None of us want that. None of us want that. Along those lines, as serious as things going on, God, so many things. Our government, the United States of America, we created the United Nations. We built that beautiful place on the East River for people to come here. In a sign of togetherness, freedom, let's not go to war anymore. What do I read now? I read that the United States of America is denying visas to same-sex partners of diplomats. It's not a lot of people, okay? Trust me. And they'll get by. Our government wants them to get married before they get visas. Well, the problem is those people in their countries, these same-sex people, their governments say no to the marriage of people like that. So what are we doing? We're creating even more difficulty for these people. But the point is this a problem? Is this really a problem that these people are coming here and we say no visa? What is wrong with this country? It's an authoritarian thing. It's the way Turkey and other countries basically legislate and run their governments. And, you know, vote. If you don't like what's going on, you have to vote. And if you like what's going on, you have to vote. But it's the precious right that we have in this country that few other countries, because there were a lot of countries beyond Britain and France, they don't have the privilege. They don't have free elections. I can't tell you enough. Well, I don't know. I don't know where people are in their heads in terms of what's going on, but you have to vote.
It's, well, you have to vote, and the reason you have to vote is just take a look at what is happening with the nomination of a judge. I'm not going to get even into the judge, the judge to be an argument, but just take a look at the political parties that for the first time, there was always Congress has always been a free for all. It has. I mean, but the Senate always had some respect amongst the lawmakers from one another. And it went completely down the drain in this hearing that took place. And it took two lawmakers, one a Republican, one a Democrat, to meet and go out and decide on something, whether it works or not. That's not the problem, and that doesn't matter. The fact that we finally had two senators stand up and say enough of this, there's a way around this without tearing this country apart right now. We can try to fix it and go out and put something together that the Democratic caucus accepted and the Republican caucus had to accept. There's not enough of that. That shouldn't be a shining act of valor. That should be what the United States Senate and what the United States Congress is elected to do on a daily basis. I mean, I give a lot of credit that it was done, but Jim, it used to happen all the time in the Senate and the Congress where Democrats and Republicans met in the middle. And it's the old, you ask for a full loaf, and sometimes you accept a half a loaf, and sometimes you accept a quarter of a loaf. And for the media to make this a real big event, it's a sad state of things because it used to be the normal way of practice in the Senate. The House, not so much.
The House
always has been rough and tumble.
And that was the idea in two years. But the Senate were the grown-ups.
And it's sad to see that it has to come in little spurts that make us feel better because it shows you how broken things are.
But it also speaks to, unfortunately, in my view, the whole when you let social media drive the day, it's literally like letting the schoolyard drive the day. And when I say drive, it's like if that is going to be your source of news, then it's pretty hopeless. I shouldn't say hopeless because that means without it. It's pretty stupid, is what it is. Because I think everyone has had an experience just along the way in life where something that was said about them or whatever didn't turn out to be true or was a misinterpretation or. And I'm not talking literally about this situation. I'm talking very generally. And if you are going to use that as your compass, you're going to be lost pretty quickly.
Interesting. You use the term social media in terms of driving some things that are going on in terms of this nomination for Supreme Court. The reason that the social media has begun to drive that, which, you know, those things, other than Clarence Thomas thing, you know, they were hardly covered in the press. But the reason the press is covering this thing is because our people, our senators, are not living up to their responsibility and acting, as Marshall said, in concert with arriving at something. If everybody agreed on everything in the Senate or in life, boy, that would be pretty boring, obviously. But also, it's not possible. And so, therefore, getting together and saying, hey, what's the best thing for the country is the way we used to do it.
That's why they were elected.
Now the thing is being driven by media because they're getting such a response from the public in terms of these this nomination that they have to cover it and have to feed it. And hopefully they'll help.
And here's what's gone. Here's what's going on with all this super hyped up coverage of the nomination of a judge Supreme Court to be. All this is going on, and one of the biggest deficits continues to rise as the funding plan was approved from the president while all this went on to keep the government operating. And it increased the national debt once again by about $1 billion. That story never hit mainstream media.
There are five stories you could name
Four people. I mean, now, I'm not saying that this nomination for a Supreme Court judge isn't important. It is. It's news, and it's an important process. But damn it.
It has sucked. There is no other information that's available to you. And you can go from channel to channel to channel.
You can even go from newspaper to newspaper to newspaper. No newspapers covered the extension of the debt.
When you say no newspaper, inside it has, just not on the web. When you make news a la carte, it's like, oh, I'll have that one and that one and that one, which has gone on for some time now. You can't expect people to... didn't everyone have a favorite subject in school? Didn't everybody have something that they would rather sleep through? Probably. Going back to what Jim said about not everybody agreeing on everything. And sorry to sound ancient, but used to be that the news was a well-rounded, to use a newer word, sampling of what was going on. Now it is just sort of endless, conflated opinion. Endless, breathless, conflated opinion. And that seems to be what's expected because no one appears to be interested in the, shall we say, drier numbers.
Now, Jim, I know you probably don't stay up late, but I want you to find John Oliver's Last Week Tonight from Sunday night. He spent 1 hour actually full, it was humor, but full news coverage on three stories. And he has replaced what Jon Stewart used to do on a daily basis.
Right.
Which was how people got their news.
And people have got to watch this because it's absolutely amazing with a little bit of humor the way he covered three different stories.
Right, but here's the problem. There are, with all due respect, you're of a certain age. Jim is of a certain age. And what has to happen is more people, more regular people, have to devote the time and attention to do this.
See, the Comedy Central program that is now hosted by, Noah?
Trevor Noah.
Is funny and good, but it's no longer a newscast for people to understand what's going on. That's the problem. Jon Stewart made it a newscast. And it was humorous, but it was a newscast. And Trevor Noah is a very funny guy and does a great job, but it's just not the same. We need more of that in prime time. We need more of this. There's another network called Vice, which is aired on HBO, which runs. They do in-depth reporting. And whether you like the stories or not, they're there. Well, anyways, Jim, I'll give you the last 3 minutes because we've hogged all your time.
You know who
it's
owns
been
Vice.
A pleasure. It's been a good discourse here. Let me put in a plug for the media, like people from the Times and the Post and so forth. These people are exhausted. They're exhausted because what's happened is this particular administration has created so much uncertainty that these people are forced to day in and day out go after the story. The Times article, which was a poor article and incorrectly done about a week ago, talking about the comings and goings of the Trump administration and people yelling and hollering and not together. You know, we knew that. We knew that for 3 months, 6 months, whatever. It's always, it's come right out of the White House and leaks. These people at the Times were working on it, they say, for about 9 months or something. I don't know. One, it was all news. But two, there was no real reason to do that story. But they're so caught up in trying to help us as citizens to understand what's going on. They are human beings. Unfortunately, I watch too much of this political stuff, and I can see it. I can hear it. I can see their facial expression. I can see some of them are really down from this. So, you know, give them some credit. They are breaking it here to try and help us.
But doesn't that...
I'm sorry.
No, because we're out of time. We're just very close to, so do your wind
up. I'm out of time?
Yep.
All right. Well, this has been a great pleasure, as usual. Boy, this woman, very quickly.
That's because we were all he just interrupted.
I was going to say something, and I realized I couldn't say it because we are out of time. That's what just happened there.
Go ahead. Well, say it anyhow, will you?
No. I will not.
Because she can't do it in a minute, Jim. There's
no way. I can. What I was going to ask is, does watching these exhausted people and the looks on their faces inform your view of what's going on?
Well, you're commenting. What are you saying?
I am just saying visually seeing this, in my view, it couldn't help but inform your view of what's going on in terms of the other information and everything that you're perceiving as an observer.
No question. And I'll tell you something. If you think of Kavanaugh in his presentation, the last one he made, you look at that face, you look at the, as Matt Damon did so well on Saturday Night Live, his nose situation, you'll find out that this is a man under siege whose truth is being uncovered as not so truthful. So, no, I think you can learn a lot from looking at people when they speak and how they speak. And anyhow.
All right.
This has been good. Let's do our best this week, with the Giants.
We'll see what happens.
You know, I think you ought to get out there and put some pads on, Marshall. You know, come on. Help the guys, will you?
I try every week.
And, you know, I know in a different life, Jill was a cheerleader, so I can see her out there.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we'll skip off and cheer into the day.
Okay. I love you both. You have a good week.
Take care. Bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.